Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online about the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany Ralf Denk, the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the largest and most successful cycling team in Germany, throughout the France Tour. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.ufovbmedia.de. And now, have fun with the new episode. Tim Mellier wins the third stage of the Tour de France 2025. Mathieu van der Poel remains in the yellow jersey. So far, so good, but serious crashes overshadow the race. Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe is also affected. Let's get the latest information from team manager Ralf Denk. So hello and servus, Ralf, in France.
Hello. Greetings to Rosenheim.
Yes, in our sound check, Ralf, you said, not a good day for us. Take us through it. Just before the finish, two crashes in your team. What exactly happened and how are the riders doing?
Yes, how the riders are doing. So visually, I can only judge that they are already quite battered. Jordi Moyes and Laurens Pitti went to the ground in preparation for the Royal Sprint. As I said yesterday, they are now on their way to get x-rays and then we will know more. The abrasions are already significant, but as I said, we want to rule everything out. So first to the x-rays and then we will have more clarity later in the evening on how things will proceed.
But both made it to the finish. There is a possibility that both can continue the Tour de France.
Yes, that is always important, as harsh as it sounds. You must not stay on the street or allow yourself to be taken in an ambulance because then the Tour de France is over. Well, you always have to cross the finish line on your own power. That's what the two did, even though their faces were very contorted with pain. They also arrived at the bus, the team bus, but they definitely made it in time. They are in the results and can theoretically continue tomorrow.
Yes, did they run? You noticed, because it can be that adrenaline is in the body. Many athletes keep going for a short time. They're in the zone, continue on. And a short time later, it turns out, oh, something bigger happened. What was your impression when you saw them?
Yes, difficult. I have seen many crashes and as you correctly say, there is adrenaline involved and that's why they could dismount the bike on their own. But the medical team is taking care of it and they are, as mentioned, on their way to x-rays and then we will definitely know more.
Mm-hmm. What is the mood like for the rest of the team, for the entire staff? This is really a bitter day for you.
Yes, there is first complete silence. And on the other hand, Juan is also glad that Primoz didn't crash and that Florian got through well. But of course, it's nothing nice. And everyone hopes that the two affected can continue tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's about possible tactical consequences. If Jordi Moyes couldn't continue, that would change a lot, right?
Let's not think about it now. And as I said, in cycling, especially at the Tour de Force, you often take it hour by hour. So we don't need to use up headspace because in an hour, it could be a completely different scenario again.
Yes, unfortunately, the team Alpecin-De Kooning had to take up memory space. Jasper Philipsen, he really got caught in the intermediate sprint. We know he's out of the Tour. The images were indeed not nice. How did you see the scene?
Yes, I would say that this is purely a race accident, this crash. One slips out of the pedal and then there was a wave movement in the sprint. And Jasper Philipsen ended up ultimately being the victim and went down really hard. And you saw two teammates stopped. They were then immediately sent on by the team management. So the team car was with Jasper Philipsen and the guys who actually wanted to help him catch up with the field were immediately sent on by the Alpecin-De Kooning team management. That often doesn't mean anything good. From moment one, it was clear the Tour is over for Jasper Philipsen and he cannot continue.
How brutal is cycling? So Alpecin-De Kooning, the start in the Tour de France couldn't have been better. Jasper Philipsen wins the first stage, wears the yellow jersey. Mathieu van der Poel wins the second stage, wears the yellow jersey. You might think, great, everything is wonderful. And today, this happens. Take us along on an emotional level there. As a team manager, you have to approach things a bit rationally, and you plan and have ideas, and you realize, oh, everything is running super, everything is going well, one action, and everything collapses. Well, not everything, but a very important component suddenly falls apart.
Yes.
What does that then trigger in people?
That's extreme, because essentially there are the millions in salaries which we pay the racers lying on the asphalt, unable to continue. There were very, very many crashes today. Also, that's not nice. That's also not nice for our sport. Extremely annoying for me when I look at the finish line. Sure, Gurley had already crashed, but at the finish line, there was there was another big crash at the 250-meter mark. From what I saw on television, that was far from the regulations of the UCI. The last 250 meters should be straight. It was not, the finish line was hard to see because there was first a right turn and then a left turn. And that one should certainly ask the question again, was the finish lane really according to the regulations? In my opinion, no.
Interesting point. So I was sitting there. And of course, in preparation for the podcast, I watched every stage from start to finish and thought, well, today will be quite a calm day. And now we're sitting here and you're saying it's an extremely bitter day for you. We talked about Jasper Philipsen. Is it on such stages where it seems to us outsiders like nothing much is happening and then suddenly there's a rush, an intermediate sprint or the expected final sprint? Is the danger higher there than in a race that is more or less intense from the start?
No, I wouldn't say that because clearly the stage started very slowly. There was no rush in the race and no one really wanted to attack. But there are days like that. If I look at the first 2 days now, they were so hard in terms of the route, but also how the racers handled it. And then comes Monday. On Monday, maybe not as many people are there as on the weekend. Sure, it's the Tour de France, but maybe Monday is somewhat like the working world. And so the riders decided at first, okay, we'll take the first 2 to 3 hours of racing a bit more relaxed today. Things got more heated towards the finale. So I wouldn't say it started at full speed right from the beginning today. Then fewer crashes would have happened. Sure, the crashes were just part of the stage. In my opinion, the last one might have been avoided at the 250-meter mark because it was really difficult for the races when they are 250 meters from the finish line and can't even see the finish.
That also means for Pitti and Moitz, you say there's simply racing incidents that happen, whether the stage is hectic from the start or goes as it did today.
Yes, difficult. You saw Remco Evenepoel also crashed. He was holding his arm. Ah, today we split the team. Three guys or two plus Jordi Moyes wanted to get involved in the sprint, prepare for the sprint. The rest stayed with Primoz, but way back in the field. And that's a very, very conservative tactic we chose today for Primoz and also for Florian to keep them out of the worst. We stayed at the back of the field, perhaps at a slight distance from the field. But as you've seen today with the crashes, it was exactly the right decision.
By when can we see, when can we expect results? How quickly do you think now? It is 6:37 at this moment. By when will we get results from Jordi Moyes and Laurens Pitti?
Yes, the good thing is that there is sort of an X-ray center at the medical center right at the track side. So you don't have to go to the hospital for an X-ray. You will get clarity relatively quickly there. We have 1.5 hours back to the hotel and then the wounds will be cared for. Hopefully the wounds or injuries are such that the racers can be best prepared for tomorrow for the stage. So it's not clear that someone has to go home or to the hospital, but that it continues. the final decision will only be made tomorrow morning before the start of the stage. The mechanics will have quite a bit of work today because two bikes have broken down. Yes, it will be a long day tonight.
It will be a long day. Definitely follow Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe on social media. There you will get regular updates, and we will, of course, discuss the exact situation in tomorrow's episode. Yes, Ralph, the show must go on. It will continue tomorrow. And also here in the podcast, it continues. I want to talk to you today in the background about an interview you gave before the Tour de France. Some have read it. I also saw on our pages that there was quite a bit of interest. You spoke more or less clearly about structural problems in cycling. We'll do it like this now, Ralph.
I'll throw the most important points at you, and then you can elaborate on them. You see it. There are too many events.
Yes, you have to imagine it like this. From World Tour team, which means the World Tour is made up of 18 teams. We are one of them. We must sign at least 27 racers. We can sign up to 30 racers. Why do we need so many racers? Because we have so many events. That means we often compete in three events simultaneously per week.
That means we start a race in Spain, in Italy, and maybe one in Belgium.
And that is, of course, massive logistics. And it also somewhat dilutes the professional cycling product because the fan who maybe isn't quite as close to our sport now watches race A on Discovery Channel, race B and race C. And our team competes everywhere. And it's hard for them to sort out what is really the important race this week. And I would prefer a reduction of the squad and also the calendar so that you really have a product you look forward to, similar to Formula One. Their races are also every 2 weeks and no races are squeezed in somewhere because that is a dilution. And in my opinion, dilution means a weakening of the professional cycling product.
And it also massively increases the effort. You also have to generate sponsorship money. The more races, the more logistics, the more costs.
Sure, every race costs money, but that's more of a secondary factor. Primarily, I think it's a dilution of the product, and I would wish for the European calendar to be perhaps spread out a bit. I would wish that new markets would be developed, for example, in South America or North America. Currently, there is very little professional cycling at the highest level taking place there. We also still have blank spots in South Africa, for example, where cycling is very popular. So there are certainly still places on the world map where professional cycling needs presence, perhaps also in Japan, where currently none takes place at the highest level. And maybe we should think about that and streamline the European calendar a bit.
Yes, does streamlining, focusing more on the classics, more on the smaller tours? I mean, the big tours are not up for debate. I think we agree on that, but what could that look like?
For me, there's nothing open for debate regarding the three-week national cycling tours. So Giro Italia, Tour de France, and Vuelta a España, and also the five cycling monuments. This has truly grown historically. They should definitely be maintained. Without past, there is no future. That is already a basic attitude of mine. The five monuments are Milan-San Remo, the Tour of Flanders, Paris-Roubaix, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, and the Tour of Lombardy. But everything that isn't mentioned, there are so many races. We race 260 races per year. Surely, for one race or another that might not be so important or well-known, you could certainly cut that.
In other sports, there is also a rotation principle. That means you don't permanently drop a one-day race or a tour, but 1 year it takes place there, and another year you go to a different country, and eventually you return. That would be an approach, right?
As mentioned, there are different approaches, models, or perhaps to participate in smaller races only with the junior team. But as it is currently, in my opinion, it's too much and our product is growing back again.
The reach of the top stars regarding social media and so on. That was another point. What exactly do you mean by that?
Yes, if I compare Pogacar, Vingegaard, Evenepoel or Roglic with other sports stars, for example, in tennis or Formula One, then cycling does not have that great reach. Tennis players are better. Formula One drivers are better. Football players, definitely. Maybe it's also due to the fact that they don't have any time to, let's say, share anything from their private lives because they simply ride 60, 70, 80 races per year. Certainly do the same number of altitude training camps in days. There is not much time left to tell stories from their private lives. And it is precisely their private lives that interest the fans. I think that is also a reason why cycling might need to rethink this so that the big stars of our sport can perhaps share a bit more of their privacy. So the fans become more interested and the reach might increase as a result.
An approach was the much cited Netflix series production, which we also talked about here, started as a beacon of hope. The last season is running, but that will be it. No new one will be produced. I clearly read in the interview that you are disappointed by that.
Yes, that was naturally exhausting for us the last 3 years when Netflix accompanied us at the Tour de France. It was 24/7 with cameras for sure. It's what fans are interested in and where we can also make our sport bigger. But you have to be open about privacy. And personally, I can say I have zero pain with it. Many other teams or team members or riders had a bit of a hard time with it. And that's probably also a reason why Netflix is leaving cycling after 3 seasons.
Okay, interesting developments, interesting positions from you. Thank you for the answers. So, Ralf, we are looking forward. We are looking to Tuesday. 174 kilometers will be driven. From Amiens, it goes to Rouen, a hilly profile. In the end, it really gets serious. In the last 50 kilometers, there are 5 mountain classifications, 3 of the 4th and 2 of the 3rd category. Especially challenging is the last mountain, the ramp of Saint-Hilaire, with up to 16% incline. Yes, what do you generally expect from tomorrow? Then we'll also talk about you.
A very, very difficult stage. The really big mountains are not yet in sight. But here in northern France, it's hilly terrain, up and down all day.
And especially the finale is intense. I see the stage similar to yesterday, possibly even a bit more challenging or tougher because more inclines follow one another. And that means we have to be on guard and must position and protect Primož and Florian in the best way possible so they can likely finish the race among the best in the end.
Hopefully with a full team. As it continues exactly, I told you, follow Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe on social media. There you get the super fast updates and the detailed updates are available here in the podcast after each stage. And it only exists because you're here, Ralf, and because you provide us with this information. That's why even today, despite the difficult day for you, many heartfelt thanks for being available to us and thus best regards from Rosenheim to France.
With pleasure. Have a nice evening and best regards back to Rosenheim.
This was the current edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast by OVB Online about the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all popular podcatchers and on the pages of OVB Media and ePen Media. Thanks for listening and until the next episode.